Welcome to our deep dive today. We're going to be looking at the book of Joshua, specifically chapter 1. And we're going to be using some insights from Dr. David Howard's lecture to help us along the way. Yeah. Now, we're not just going over some dry biblical history here. This chapter's got a lot more going on. There are leadership lessons. We can see power dynamics. Maybe even a little bit of ancient real estate drama.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. It's amazing what you can unpack from just this one chapter.
Right. So we've got the Israelites. They're finally about to enter the promised land after, 40 years of wandering in the desert. And now Joshua is taking over for Moses. He's got a pretty big job in front of him.
It's a huge job. I mean, the stakes are incredibly high. You know, think about it. He's not just inheriting some land, right? He's leading an entire nation. He's got to fulfill this divine promise. They're going to try to establish their identity. And they've got all these internal and external pressures to navigate.
No pressure.
Right. Talk about pressure. So let's set the scene here a little bit. God commands Joshua to take possession of the land. And Dr. Howard makes this really interesting point about the wording here. He says it's both a gift and a huge responsibility. Yeah. What do you think about that?
Well, it is crucial because it really highlights this duality that's running throughout the whole narrative. Because you see, the Israelites, they're being given the land, but they also have to take it. It's not just handed to them. They've got to work for it. They have to fight for it. They've got to prove themselves worthy of it. It speaks to this human agency, even within a divine plan, you know?
Right. Yeah. And that agency plays out right away because we see Joshua delegating tasks to his officers, getting everyone ready for this monumental task of crossing the Jordan River. But wait a second. What about those 2.5 tribes that wanted to settle on the east side of the Jordan?
Ah, yes. The tribes of Reuben and Gad and half of Manasseh. Mm-hmm. Now, their story, that's fascinating. And it really speaks to these leadership complexities that Joshua is facing. They looked at this fertile land east of the Jordan. It was perfect for their livestock. And they figure, well, why cross the river? We've got what we need here.
Yeah, you can almost picture Moses raising an eyebrow at that, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Thinking, oh, are they trying to dodge the tough battles in Canaan?
Exactly. Moses was worried they were putting their own comfort over the mission of everyone, which is something, you know, any leader can relate to. But they worked out this compromise. They said, we'll fight alongside everyone else. We'll leave our families and our livestock here, and we'll come back once the land is secure.
Right. So Joshua, in chapter 1, he's basically holding them to their promise, right?
He is.
He's echoing what Moses said back in Numbers and Deuteronomy, just reminding them of what they committed to.
It is a reminder, but it's more than that. It's reinforcing that core theme of obedience and faithfulness to the covenant. And that's a theme that you see throughout these books. It connects back to the foundation of who the Israelites are. It's about unity, you know, a shared purpose. And that's essential when you're a leader facing a difficult task.
Okay. So this idea of obedience, we see it come up in verse 16. Joshua gives his call to action. But there's this debate about who is responding, right? Is it just those Transjordan tribes or is it the whole nation?
That's a great point. And Dr. Howard, he really gets into the Hebrew syntax here. Like he's a detective uncovering clues. He's suggesting that they who are responding to Joshua might actually be the entire nation, not just those 2.5 tribes.
Wow. And if that's the case, wouldn't that make it the only time in the entire book that the whole Israelite community acknowledges Joshua as their leader?
That's exactly right. It would completely change our understanding of what's going on with power dynamics, and it would be a really crucial moment of unity for them. Imagine the impact that affirmation from everyone would have on Joshua as he's getting ready to lead them into the unknown.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah.
But then they say, just as we obeyed Moses.
Right.
A little bit ironic considering their track record, right?
It is, isn't it? They're pledging this unwavering obedience, but I mean, come on. Their history with Moses was anything but obedient.
It makes you think about those promises we make to ourselves and those commitments, right? When we say, oh yeah, I'm going to do this. And we fully mean it. We fully intend to follow through. But then, life, right? It throws us a curveball. It's that human element. It sneaks into these big stories. Reminds us that even with the best intentions, we're not perfect.
Right. People are fallible. And I think that's what makes these stories so relatable, even thousands of years later. It's this reminder that we're all on a journey. And on that journey, there are going to be triumphs, but there are also going to be stumbles. Even in the midst of divine promises and epic adventures, you know, that human fallibility is always going to be there.
Right. And that brings us to this phrase that keeps coming up, be strong and courageous. God says it to Joshua, and then the people, they echo it right back to him. What do you think? What does strength and courage actually mean in this context?
That's a great question. And it's one that's still relevant today. We tend to think of strength and courage as just physical, you know? But I think there's more to it here. Joshua's got huge challenges, external challenges, internal challenges. He's leading a nation into unknown territory. They're going to be facing enemies. They've got internal divisions.
So he's going to need more than just brute force, right?
Right. He's going to need resilience. He's going to need faith. He's going to need wisdom. He's got to inspire others. And he has to be able to make those really difficult decisions. It's about having inner strength as much as outward might.
So this chapter, it looks simple, but it's got so much depth. There are layers about leadership, obedience, courage, and just how complex we are as humans. Really amazing what we can find by just taking a deep dive into these ancient texts, right?
It all comes back to this idea of leading with strength and courage. Dr. Howard talks about the importance of remembering.
Oh, that's right. Joshua keeps reminding the Israelites about God's promises, about their history, about this covenant that they're part of. It's almost like he's saying, hey, remember who you are, where you came from, what you're fighting for. Why do you think that's such an important thing for him to emphasize?
Well, I think it's because when you're facing something unknown, you know, it's easy to just freeze up, to be afraid, to be unsure. But if you remember the past, especially how faithful God has been in the past, it can give you hope for what's to come. You're drawing strength from all those experiences you've had together.
It's like that saying, right? Those who can't remember the past are condemned to repeat it. But in this case, it's more like those who remember the past are empowered to overcome it.
I like that. That's a good way to put it. And it's not just about remembering the good stuff, you know, remembering when they struggled, when they messed up, the times they doubted and disobeyed. Those experiences, they can really shape you, maybe even more than the good times.
Like they're drawing strength from everything, right? The good and the bad. It makes me think about how we always want to forget our mistakes. But maybe there's something to be said for accepting them as part of our journey.
That's an interesting thought. We like to focus on all the highlights, right? But often it's the tough times, the setbacks, those things really change us. And if we can admit that and learn from them, they can make us stronger, more resilient.
So we've got this call to action, this remembering, this idea of being strong and courageous.
Yeah.
What about the land itself, though? What was Canaan actually like? And why was it so important to these people?
Canaan, well, it was a pretty desirable place back then. It was right at this crossroads, all these ancient trade routes going through, connecting Egypt, Mesopotamia, the Anatolian Plateau. I mean, prime location, right? Mm-hmm. For commerce, for cultural exchange.
Not just a strategic location, but like a cultural melting pot, too.
Exactly. Plus, the land itself was very fertile. Plenty of water, perfect for growing crops. It was worth fighting for, you know, from an economic standpoint, from a strategic standpoint. But for the Israelites, I don't think it was just about the material stuff.
Right. There was that divine promise, establishing themselves as a people. Finding their place in the world. Mm.
Exactly. They've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. They were desperate for a home, a place where they could settle down and build their nation. And Canaan, well, that was the land that God had promised to their ancestors, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all that history, that longing, it must have been a powerful driving force.
Makes you realize that there's so much more going on here than just conquering some land. It's about destiny. About fulfilling a promise that's been passed down for generations.
It's at the core of who they are, their identity. It's where they belong, the foundation of their covenant with God.
It's amazing how this one chapter has so many layers to it. Leadership, obedience, courage, memory, identity, even ancient geopolitics.
And it's all told in such a vivid way. It pulls you in. You know, it's not just dry history. Even thousands of years later, it's still a captivating story.
And that's what's so great about studying these texts. They're not just documents from the past. They give us this window into the human experience, all these timeless questions about faith and identity and purpose.
And even though they were written so long ago in such a different world, they still speak to us today in a way that's so profound.
Speaking of context, I want to go back to that detail you mentioned before, that debate about who is actually responding to Joshua in verse 16. It seems like a small grammar thing, but it could change the whole story, right?
You mean the Hebrew syntax that suggests that it might be the whole nation responding, not just the Transjordan tribes?
Exactly. Most people just assume it's those tribes talking. But Dr. Howard, he's making a strong argument that this could be a much bigger moment.
It's almost like this little detective story, you know, hidden in the text. And if he's right, this would be the only time in the entire book that every Israelite comes together and says, yeah, Joshua, you're our leader.
What a powerful change in the narrative.
It would. It would completely change the whole power dynamic. And it would highlight that unity that's starting to develop within the nation. Think about what that would mean for Joshua, you know?
Yeah.
To have everyone behind him as he's getting ready to lead them into this new land.
It's like Dr. Howard's using grammar clues to unlock a whole new level of meaning.
It reminds us that even the tiniest details in these ancient texts can have a big impact on how we understand the story. It's all about looking closely, digging deeper, asking the right questions.
And maybe even questioning what we think we already know.
Exactly. There's always something new to be discovered. Always another layer of meaning to uncover.
Okay, so we've talked about leadership, obedience, courage, memory, identity. We've looked at the historical context, and we've even touched on the difficulties of interpreting violence in these ancient texts. But I want to shift gears a little bit here and talk about something that's often overlooked in these biblical stories, the role of women.
That's an important point, and Dr. Howard, he does bring it up in his lecture. He points out that even though the Book of Joshua is often seen as this very masculine story, all about conquest and battles, there are a few key moments where women actually play really important roles.
So who are these women? And how do they affect the story?
Well, one of the most famous is Rahab. You remember her? She was a Canaanite prostitute who helped the Israelite spies escape from Jericho. Her story is really interesting because it challenges our ideas about who's on the right side in this conflict.
That's true. She's technically an enemy, right? But she decides to help them because she believes in their God.
That's it. And what she does has a huge impact on everything. I mean, she saves the spies' lives. But she also gives them this crucial information about how Jericho is defended. And because of that, she and her whole family are spared when the city is destroyed. It's a really powerful moment.
It is. It shows how even someone who seems like an outsider can play such an important part in God's plan.
Absolutely. And it also highlights that faith and courage, they don't depend on your social status or your background. Rahab's story is a great example of how God can work through anyone, even someone you might not expect to be a hero.
So we have Rahab. She's a pretty major character. But Dr. Howard also mentions some other women. They may have smaller parts, but they're still important to the story.
Yes. He talks about the women who went with the Israelites on their journey. They were there to support them, to help them along the way. He also mentions the women who fought alongside the men in the battles. We don't know their names, but they were essential to the mission's success.
That's interesting. You always picture those battles as being only men, but women were right there in the thick of it. Changes how you see things, you know.
It does. And it challenges that old view of women being passive, just watching from the sidelines. They were active participants, contributing in their own way.
It reminds us that even though these stories might be told from a male point of view, there's always more to the story, more voices that need to be heard, more perspectives to consider.
Absolutely. And sometimes those overlooked voices, those are the ones that give us the most meaningful insights.
Okay, so we talked about Rahab. We talked about the women who helped the Israelites.
Yeah.
And the women who fought in the battles. But there's one more thing I want to touch on here.
What's it?
It's the question of female leadership. Dr. Howard, he doesn't really address this directly in his lecture, but it's been on my mind. If women were fighting in those battles, does that mean they could have also been leaders?
That's a great question. And there are different ways to look at it. We don't have any clear examples of women leading armies in the Book of Joshua.
Yeah.
Or making those big strategic decisions.
Right. But then we have people like Deborah in the Book of Judges, a prophetess and a military leader. So it's not totally out of the question.
Right? Exactly. So it's definitely possible that women had similar roles in Joshua's time. Maybe those stories just weren't written down.
It's like we're putting together a puzzle, but some pieces are missing. We have to use what we know to try to figure out what women's lives were really like in ancient Israel.
And that's what makes history so interesting. It's not just a bunch of facts. It's about interpreting those facts, making new discoveries, rethinking what we thought we knew about the past.
It's about asking the right questions, challenging what we think is true, and being open to new ideas.
And that's what makes studying these ancient texts so fascinating. They make us think critically, engage with different points of view, and always be expanding our understanding of the past.
So to bring it back to where we started, we began this deep dive into the Book of Joshua by looking at themes of leadership, obedience, and courage. We talked about the historical context and how to interpret violence in these ancient texts. But then we went on this detour and we focused on something that's often forgotten. the role of women.
And in doing so, we found new meanings, we questioned some of our assumptions, and we gained a deeper appreciation for how complex this story really is.
It's been a fascinating journey, and we hope you've enjoyed listening in.
As always, we encourage you to keep exploring, ask your own questions, come up with your own interpretations.
Because the great thing about these ancient texts is that they're always open to new insights, to fresh perspectives.
And until next time, keep diving deep.
So it's really interesting, right? Even in this story that's often seen as this masculine thing, women are playing these super important roles. Dr. Howard points out these different women, and it got me thinking about, like, what female leadership was even like back then. Do you think, I mean, if women were right there fighting alongside everyone, could they have been leaders too?
It really makes you think, doesn't it? It's true. We don't have anything in the book of Joshua that specifically says, oh yeah, this woman led the army, or she made this big strategic decision.
Right, right. But then you think about Deborah and Judges. She was a prophetess and she was a military leader.
Exactly. So it's not totally out there to think that there might have been women like that during Joshua's time, too. Maybe their stories just didn't get written down or haven't been found yet. Makes you wonder, you know.
It does. It's like we're looking at this puzzle, but some of the pieces are missing. We have to use the ones we do have to imagine what it was really like to be a woman back then.
That's the thing about history, isn't it? It's more than just a bunch of facts. It's figuring out what those facts mean, finding new pieces of the story, and sometimes changing how we think about the past.
It's about asking the right questions, not being afraid to challenge what we think is true, and being open to new ideas, new possibilities.
Absolutely. And that's what keeps things interesting when you're studying these old texts. They make us think critically. They force us to see things from different sides. We're always learning and changing how we understand the past.
So to bring it back around, we started by looking at leadership, obedience, and courage. We talked about the history behind it all and how to understand violence in those times. But then we kind of shifted gears and looked at something that's often forgotten. The role of women.
And by doing that, we found new layers of meaning. We questioned some of our assumptions, and we got a much better understanding of how complex the story really is.
It's been a fascinating journey, and we really hope you've enjoyed coming along with us.
Like always, we encourage you to keep digging into these texts. You might be surprised what you find.
Thanks for listening, everyone.